Welcome to the Happiness Happens podcast. I'm Simona Nicole, host of the show, mindset coach, and motivational speaker. I've made it my mission to help you get unstuck, shift your mindset, and understand your worth to help you live your most purposeful life. Each week, I will bring you an idea, guest, or a positive thought that will leave you inspired and empowered to win your life. We decide the stories we tell ourselves and where we invest our energy. I'm so grateful you popped in. Now let's dive in. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode on the Happiness Happens podcast. I'm so excited to dive into today's conversation. Today, we have a really incredible guest. We're going to be talking about things that are very, very things that we haven't spoken about on here in specific ways, and in ways that we haven't really sort of dived into before, if you will, for lack of better words. But today on the show, we have Kevin. And for those who are on Instagram, he is Expansion Codes. And I really, really love Kevin already. We've been talking a little bit before I hit record, and we were talking, and he just has this really great energy, you guys, and like incredible, personality and perspective. And I really think that you're going to get a lot of value out of this conversation. And I really think that you're going to be able to take actionable items out of this conversation and implement them in your day-to-day life. So Kevin, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being here today.
Oh, I'm so grateful to be here, Simona. This is going to be so much fun. Thank you for having me here.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. I'm so excited to chat with you. And I would love if you could just tell everyone, where did Expansion Codes come from and how did you come up with it?
Oh, such a good question. So it's just, honestly, it has been an unfolding for a while. And I've tried different layers, or like peeled off different layers. And I went from beginning on like my nickname in college in Instagram to going to embracing more of a vegan, you know, lifestyle and like my platform, and then going into more of this like expat living lifestyle, and then transition to this more like, actually, I'm kind of just like transcending something. I don't know what it is. And it just came to me. It came to me in some form, just Expansion Codes. And like, what I feel like what I share is not mine. Like, it's honestly a channel, and it's codes to unlock our potential. And what I'm doing, perpetually doing, is just expanding. And sometimes it's not as much or as fast as I want it to, but I always feel that there is just some level of my energy just expanding. So, and it's just, you know, with abundance and attraction and all these things, I just love them. But to me, I feel like there's something else that could be there for everybody to reach. And that's what expansion is. It's like, there's everybody desires an expansion in some capacity in their world. So I feel like it's very reachable and very broad. And that's what I'm really trying to hone in on, is being more inclusive with the message, instead of saying, oh, if you're not plant-based, there's something wrong with you. Or like, oh, if you're not sober, da da da. I want to remove those, because that's not really an inclusive style of how healing happens.
Ooh, I really love that you just said that. I think that that is such a great point. And there's so much depth to that, because I think that a lot of the times, we always imagine things need to look or be a certain way, right? Mm. We always think that, you know, to heal, you have to do this, this, this. To grow, you need to do this, this, this. You know, to be accepted by people around you who are in a similar community or a similar space, like, you have to do this, 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 this ceremony, this drink, this, you know, this, all of these different things. And that's not necessarily the case, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it can come and look in so many different ways. Yeah. So you said that you were an expat. Are you still? Like, where are you living?
That's a good question. So the last 8 months I was in Mexico. I started in San Miguel de Allende, which is a little bit outside of, not a little bit, it's closer to Mexico City in proportion, more central. And then I just, after 2 or 3 months there, I just got a call to be reunited with water. I needed to get back near water. And so through that journey, I took a 12-hour bus ride with me and my puppy dog, and we went out to Puerto Vallarta.
Nice.
And then I went to Sayulita, which is a little bit outside of Puerto Vallarta, for a few months. And then my best friend, she's still hanging out in Puerto Vallarta with a dear friend of mine. And I went up to Nashville, and now I'm in upstate New York, working with team members and doing a couple more live presentations and workshops. And actually, in 2 days, I'm going to be reunited with my best friend. We're going to be meeting again, and I'm going to be taking her on a whole new adventure. So where my home is, honestly, it's where my dog is, and my dog's coming home soon. So I'm really excited.
That's so exciting. Is your dog with your friend?
Yes. Yes. I was so fortunate to align with my first Airbnb in Puerto Vallarta. She is a vet, and she has like four dogs, and it was just great to have her, that connection, because I always feel confident if I think to pop up to LA for a couple of days for a retreat or something, and I could just feel confident then. And this has been my longest time without her next to me the whole time since we've been together. So it's been 10 days, and I'm missing my best friend for sure. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I used to have a dog, and so I understand the relationship, I totally get it. I'm very similar to you, very much so in that way. Tell us a little bit about the work that you do, and you know, the different workshops, but also, like, I guess what I'd love to really know too, before we dive into that question,
sure,
how did you get here? Like, tell me about your journey a little bit.
Wow.
I know it's probably a long story, but
as everything, it's like there's always a story behind something. But I love sharing my story. So where I'm at presently has just been about 3 years of unfolding and really just little bit by little bit of expansion. And it all really started when I was in Seattle. On paper, I was very successful. I was six-figure real estate agent. I had, you know, a beautiful condo. I had a beautiful partnership. I had a convertible. I was living the life, right? I was doing everything. And Spirit had other plans for me. So I remember it like it was yesterday. I woke up in my condo, and I couldn't get out of bed. Just couldn't. And that lasted for a whole week.
Oh, wow.
So I went through, you know, I know people call it spiritual awakenings. I would label mine as a depression. Like universe was kept telling me, Kev, hey, you need to get out of this world. It's no longer serving you. Because my background's in, you know, public service. You know, I served in the Peace Corps. I always did community organizing, and I just had a heart to be like helping others. But I was always doing it in realms where I was always capped. I was always boxed in some capacities. So when I get into real estate, it was the first time I was, one, an entrepreneur, and then two, where I was able to channel my character, my being, into profits. And it was such a different shift for me. But like in real estate, and like any other thing that may not be in alignment for your greater good, the deeper you go into it, the harder the universe is going to hit you to wake you up from it. So I got hit really heavy with it, and I just slowly crawled myself out of it, started feeding myself better. And about 3 months into it, I found a plant-based lifestyle. And then that was a whole nother catalyst for me. I went out to Hawaii because I had to leave Seattle because it was just no longer serving me. I really left everything. Wow. Just took my dog with me and a couple backpacks, and we moved out to Hawaii. I bought a Honda Element. I switched it up, made it a camper van, and we stayed there for 3 months just detoxing and like releasing and swimming and just being and not making any money and like, you know, all those things that happen. Too much inflow. So that brings me back to the States. And honestly, I was in a period about a year and a half of just internalizing, figuring things out, flowing. I traveled around the whole US. I bumped a month here, bumped a month there. And then about a year ago, I was realigned up in Seattle from a long trip. And I was with a friend. And through that experience, I was connected with a different type of water. And that's really where my true expansion and my true unfolding really, I feel, began, was when this water found me. And Since then, I've been on this whole year journey of just this personal expansion and just helping others do the same. And that kind of leads what I'm doing now is just going around and being this like messenger for water, and just bringing that divinity back and just bringing that awareness back to people of like what water is and what we actually are. And again, this is nothing that I've learned myself, and this is my secrets. This is the things just I've channeled through. So that's where I am now. It's been my journey. And what's an interesting note was that time when I just tried this water for the first time, my first 2 days. This is maybe a little bit personal, but I always had a trouble with alcohol, and not like a so much of where I was living under a bridge and I couldn't handle my life, but I would 2 drinks here, happy hour there, glass of wine there, turns into a bottle of wine by myself, watching Netflix, you know, that kind of comparison. I was never able to release it. And that first few days, I remember having a glass of wine, and I loved wine. I love that red wine, and I always bought good wine, and I remember pouring it into a glass and sharing it with friends. I cooked a meal with them, and I remember I had a sip of it, and it was the first time it actually registered to me that I was tasting it, like tasting what was in it, not just, oh, this makes me relax, this makes me calm, it's numbing or whatever it is, covering something. Yeah. I felt what it was doing to me, right? And that was my last sip of alcohol. It was over a year ago.
You didn't finish the glass?
I couldn't have another sip.
Wow.
And I didn't realize it until maybe 2 weeks later when I was like, well, I haven't had a drink. And then it turned into this like month later. And then I started seeing family members and different lenses of like how they're kind of controlled a little bit by substances. And then it hit me even harder. It was like, to dive a little deeper here, is like, I realized that I haven't had a male role model in my life that wasn't controlled by substances in some capacity. So
that's wild.
Yeah. So it's a lot of wounds I've been like diving into, healing, hydrating, and then just becoming a better version and expanding on that. So to me, it's like my journey has been not only one of like mental and physical, but also like spiritual sobriety and like expansion. And so yeah, it just brings me to this point now, having this conversation, and so much gratitude in my heart.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Honestly, this is so lovely. And I really think that your story is just so incredible, because I think that that's a really hard thing to like shift, and a really hard life to leave, especially if you have all of the things in place, right? You have the place, you have the partner, you have the dog, you have the job, you have the friends, the lifestyle. And based off of like my own experiences, I know how hard it can be to do something different that people don't understand.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of courage, I think, to be able to stand firmly in what you really want and then actually live out your like desire. Because it's very easy to say like, oh yeah, I'm going to go and travel. I'm going to stay for 6 months and I'm going to live in a camper van and I'm going to do all that. But there's a whole other thing to actually do it, you know?
Absolutely. And it's, what I like to share is like, I was selfish for so long, like just ish of myself. And when I started realizing I need to be self-full, I need to start really caring for myself and growing myself first, it removes the ish part, because I'm filling my cup up first and expanding my cup. Because when my cup starts getting expanded and I have way more I can share with others, it's no longer small amounts that I'm feeling scarce with.
That's so true.
Yeah. But it, like you said, like it takes taking that leap in faith, right? To remove that fear, that false evidence appearing real, when we can step away from that and into that faith, people look at us like we're crazy, because we are.
I know.
We are freaking crazy. Right.
You know what though? It's funny, because it's like, I think of like my life and all of the things that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And while most people will never understand what it feels like to like want to like work until 11 p.m. on something that you're launching, or like a program, or editing a podcast, or like spending, you know, 4 hours a week doing that, like not everyone is going to understand why you would do that. But it's like, it doesn't really matter. And like on the other side of that, I literally would not have it any other way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's no other option. Like going back to what life was before is not even possible.
well, you're shifting from from a scarce mindset and lifestyle to an abundant mindset, knowing that the value you give out, it doesn't have to be seen by a million people because you're impacting the right people who resonate with the energy you're putting out. So that work you put in, that internal work, that creativity work, you're channeling that and then you're giving it back out. And what happens is you receive that abundance in tenfold. That's what people don't realize, or they are, or they forget, or they're just, we expect, and this is a thing I had to go through, is like, we expect to see the results right away, or we expect to receive instead of giving. And it takes so much and so much energy and attention, but that's what you have to do to birth something, right? You have to give that love, compassion, and flow. If you don't, you're going to give something that is just blah. It's and people, so people are tired of it. Like we're waking up, we're getting intuitive again. And when we see and we feel that value, and I like to share, it's not so much understanding, it's interstanding. And we're starting to interstand like our values with each other. So the value you put out, I feel that, right? Like, and those people will, who like subscribe to your programs and your channels and these, they see it and they feel it. And that's an internal calling. Like, it's not the mind. And if it's a mind block of like, oh, the money, da, 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 da. Well, that's a wealth consciousness that they haven't matured into yet. But those ones who are just like, sign me up, anything Simona has, because why? Because I feel it and I resonate with it, because it's the love that you put out by the work you put into it.
Wow. Thank you so much for saying that.
Of course, I see it. Yeah.
Thank you. And it, you know what? It's so true. And I also think for everyone who's listening as well too, it's just such a good reminder that, you know, this is something that I say all the time, but it rings true, especially now. No one can do what you do in the way that you're going to do it. Right?
But you have to do it. Right? That's the thing. You have to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. That action, which is like what keeps a lot of people stuck, right? What keeps a lot of people where they are. I want to know, what is water consciousness? And what is that? And how do you define that? I've never heard that term in my life.
Yeah, I love that. Because like my pitch, what I do is like, I share that, you know, I help heart-centered leaders cultivate new streams of abundance without stepping out of spiritual alignment by expanding their water consciousness, right? So, and that first question people always ask me, well, what's water consciousness?
Yeah.
I love it. I love it too, because why? Because consciousness is what we know at the certain time, right? We only know what we know when we know it. So everybody's water consciousness is at a different level. So it just depends where each person's at. And it's my just privilege to share information and the knowledge that I've learned and what I embody every day. Consciousness of water, you know, one, it's just awakening people to that concept of saying like, our water is dead. The water that majority of people consume is dead water. It's water that's been processed. It's been chemotherapy. It's gone through piping. It's no longer living. And we've been waking up to, we no longer want processed foods. We no longer want dead foods. We want that living food. We want those super foods. We want those foods that make our body go, I'm feeling great. What we're awakening to now is water. And we are over 75% water by science. And in spirituality, 99%. We are water beings. And when we start making these connections that we are, you know, our blood's 94% water and it vortexes through our heart, right? And our heart is just a water pump. When we start making these connections with water and the deeper dives of it and remembering, right, that water in essence is life. You know, we hear water is life, water is life. Actually, water is living if it's from the ground. Right. But the majority of water we receive is either through sewer systems, through pipes. And again, it just destroys it. It breaks it apart and it makes the water upset. There's a beautiful example of water and like how intentions and words and vibrations affect water by Dr. Emoto. And you can see he does water crystals and he'll, you know, speak into it. He'll speak like, oh, love, compassion, flow, things like this. And you see these crystalline, beautiful crystals, like beautiful snowflakes. And then you see, he'll speak death, hatred, or he'll just ignore the water, take a photo of it, and it's distorted. It's ugly. And then he'll compare that. He compares it with city water or water from municipal sources. It's the same structure as if you played hard rock music or like the heavy metal music, or if you said death, it's the same structure. It's ugly. It's dilapidated. It's not loved. And then if you look at living water, structured water, right? This is these beautiful, like, crystalline things. This is the divine feminine in form. But what happens is the majority of water we have been drinking is dead. It's acidic, and it just causing us more dis-ease in our body than putting our bodies at ease and into that relaxed, receiving, parasympathetic mode of love. And that's water consciousness in general. It's just this over encompassing concept of looking through water at a different lens. This is not something we consume. This is not something to consume. This is something that we can create with and can start healing us. I dive in all sorts of different topics with it, but that I feel like is a good overview of water consciousness.
I want to quickly pause this interview and tell you about the Handel Group coaches that I've had the honor and privilege of bringing onto the Happiness Happens podcast. With every conversation and interview, I've learned something so impactful and so life-changing. Inner You Life is the online coaching course from Handel Group that gives you the tools to get yourself unstuck, wildly happy, and thriving where it matters most to you. Your relationship to yourself, career, love, body, money, time, and more. From wherever, whenever. Recommended by Hugh Jackman, Dr. Mark Hyman, Forrest Whitaker, Elena Brower, and hundreds more. Taught in MIT, Stanford School of Business, and 50 plus institutes of learning across the world. Visit inneryou.coach and use the code HAPPINESSHAPPENS at checkout for $75 off. Now, back to the episode.
I love that. And you had some really great puns in there too.
Thank you.
Stream of income. Deep dive.
It's the water language. It just flows through me sometimes.
Flows through you. I love that. That's so good. And so, you know, when you start paying attention to the type of water that you're putting in your body,
yeah,
what are some of the effects that happen? Like what changes?
So first it's going to be, and I want to just be clear on what type of water. You want to have the water that's living water. And we can talk a little bit more about, because I know alkaline water is a big thing now.
Yeah.
And I'll share more about that in a minute, but we want to really focus on living ionized water that is the closest to the fountains of youth of water that are around our world. There are sources of water that are located on our planet that have actual healing water that populations are over 100 years old. It's not the food that they eat, it's the water that they drink. Why? Again, we are 75%, over 75% water. And an interesting statistic is that almost 80% of all Americans are chronically dehydrated. Chronically dehydrated. And that's what we're seeing with all this disease in our systems, is people are just not angry, they're not upset, they're just dehydrated.
I'm so thirsty right now as we're having this conversation.
I'm telling you, I always carry
water with me. I'm like, where is it?
Exactly.
Oh my
exactly.
God. Sorry, yeah, keep going.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Actually, I was going to ask for the circle back on that one, on that original question. Yeah.
100%. So I guess, you know, if you are hydrating yourself properly, then.
But, yeah. Well, how do you feel? Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that. So,
of course.
The first thing what's going to happen is going to be your body. Your body is going to go through a sort of detox, right? So, you know, anything that you may be feeling like, I just want to be fully transparent and honest. This nothing about curing or nothing about that, right?
And you're not a doctor.
I am not a doctor.
For the record.
I play one on Zoom calls at times, but no, so like really the whole concept is your body is your first healing mechanism, right? So I don't know if you've ever drank in a lot of water and you just kind of feel sloshy or just like feel like bloated.
Yeah,
you drink too much water. Well, it's just because the water is not absorbing into our system, right?
Oh.
It's too large. The molecules are too large. Why? It's because it's just dead water. So it's sitting on our stomachs. And this is why a lot of people have like that stomach weight. That's actually our water babies. that's all water. And whenever we go on these fad diets, we go on these fad green drinks, these whatever celebrities do for 10 pounds in 5 days, that's all water weight, because that's just water that's sitting on your stomach and they're finally releasing it. Right. So it really comes down to absorption. So the first method of healing is getting water that can actually absorb into our cells. And we call that cellular hydration. Mm-hmm. Right. So when you start healing with cellular hydration, mm-hmm. your body's going to start kicking out all the shit that no longer serves you in the physical way. So, you know, anything from what I've heard from testimonials, what I've experienced is your first few days, brain fog will be gone. You're going to get increased amount of energy. You're going to sleep better. Maybe in a week, you're going to start losing that weight, that water, baby. Because why? Because you're going to start releasing and absorbing water. And actually, it's going to cycle out all that bad shit in your system.
Wow.
And then that can, you know, I've heard just beautiful testimonials from, you know, eczema to inflammation, especially inflammation, anything and everything in regards to inflammation. But yeah, so it's the body first. The body goes through something, and that ranges from about a month to 2 months is your first, your body. Mm-hmm. And then the next is going to be your emotional body. And that's the big one. That's the big one for a lot of people. Why? Because we carry our emotions in our body. You know, we go through something tragic, we keep it in our body. It mm-hmm. doesn't just leave us. It's not in our minds, it's in our bodies. That's where our subconscious is. We store it here. So when we start actually getting water into our cells, right, this is where all the healing happens when it comes to your emotional body. So wounds that you never expected you have, or relationships you didn't expect to lose, these yeah. things, the water will start cleansing you as it cleansed your physical body. You'll start getting to the emotional body, and you'll start feeling lighter. You'll start realizing, oh my goodness, maybe I need to drop those loser friends because they're holding me back. Oh, maybe I need to speak my truth with my parents because I have some father issues. My mother may be too strong in my life. Mm-hmm. These things start coming up. And then the third phase is your spiritual detox. Hmm. And that's when it really starts going deep and getting fun.
I love yeah. that. I yeah. love that. Yeah. I like the three phases too. And I feel like it's really interesting, because I've never heard that perspective before, because I think you can, just from my own like lived experiences, I feel like you can access like that place of like spirituality and becoming in tune with yourself in so many different ways. But it kind of makes sense, like the more you feel good about yourself, the more you allow all of those different things to heal in your life, right? But if you're feeling sluggish all day long, how yeah. you know, it's hard to sort of make that first step.
Absolutely.
And then in terms of like actual energy and like embracing energy, mm-hmm. Why would you say it's important to have a balance between both the masculine and feminine energy? And is there an impact, mm-hmm. you know, on this type of energy from the water that we consume?
Absolutely. So the majority of water that's consumed is yang, is very masculine energy.
Okay.
Rainwater is yang, is very heavy, right? So right. what we desire, what we really want to call it in is the yin, is that Mother Gaia, is that healing, nurturing water, right? Mm-hmm. Because our bodies want to heal. They don't want to do. We just need to heal ourselves. So this concept of always having to do, and create, and be, sometimes we need to receive. Mm-hmm. And that's the balance, Simona. That's the balance of being able to receive that feminine, and then that giving, that sharing, that doing of the masculine. We're really programmed in a society that says, oh, your accomplishments and your abundance will be equal to the amount that you put in. Hmm. When are you putting time to receive? Right? And a lot of us don't know how to get into that realm, because why? We're drinking water that is in this masculine world. We're drinking coffee. We're being amped up. We need to do more. We're being told we need more in our lives, instead of saying, well, what if we just allow ourselves to receive and say, I'm open to all the possibilities of abundance and I'm ready to receive it today. Mm-hmm. And that's the balance of you know, of the masculine and the feminine, and, you know, diving into the wounded sides of each of them, that's the real work. So the first one is understanding the balance and needing the balance, because it's not a gender thing, right? It's not a male female thing. It is a masculine and a feminine topic. It's energy. And when we can start really getting past this, like, oh, you know, this dude's feminine, that makes him gay, like, you know, that old mindset, it's just a scared little boy. And it's a scared little girl on the other side, right? We all are small children that we are just trying to play with each other again. Like, we want to grow and have fun and that simplistic level, but we're also wearing these adult suits that tell us we have to do things certain ways.
That's so true.
Yeah.
That's so true. And then that's when you have so much unhappiness and so many people who just wake up and are just like, oh my God, like, how did I get here? You know what I mean? Like, I never actually wanted this life for myself. This is not what I actually wanted.
Yeah. You know? Or they wake up and they're like, time flies. And I'm just like, there's no such thing as time, one. But two is like, time is so much slower for me. Why? Because I have so much of it. Because I receive it. So much of us give our time for money. Right? It's that wounded linear masculine concept of money, of like, I need to work 40 hours to receive, instead of saying, okay, well, I'm going to do something that I'm really passionate about for 80 hours. Cause why? It's not work to me. Yeah. It does feel a little bit like effort, but like, it's something you're creating.
And it's like a natural effort. Like, I totally get what you're saying, because it's like, sometimes when you're sitting at work, you have like you're there for 8, 9, 10 hours, and like the hours just like, sometimes it feels like they drag, you know what I mean? But when you're sitting in creation mode or like flow state of something that you're really passionate about, you look up and it's been 6 and you're like, where did the time go? You know what I mean? Yeah. And I feel the same way. Like every time I record a podcast interview, like I always look up at the time and I'm like, what? Like, how? You know what I mean? And it's like, it's crazy.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
So when you're getting like in that flow state and when you're finished with it, does it feel a little orgasmic? Like you're just like,
oh, yes, wow, it feels.
Yeah. You like, I feel, I released something.
It feels like a different way of explaining like accomplishment and pride. You know what I mean? Because it's like, it's a full extension of me. Yeah. And so from that place, it's very much like, oh my God, like that was so fun. Even the things that aren't not necessarily fun. Like, okay, if you think about, I mean, as a business owner, obviously I have expenses. I need to balance my programs and softwares and all these different things, right? Do I love doing that? No. But at the end of it, I'm like, oh my God, like how great is it to know where I'm at? You know what I mean? And it's like,
absolutely.
Yeah. But I feel like that's also kind of a choice, like to look at things that way too, right? Because I see a lot of different conversations online on like what you should do, how you should spend your time, where you should, you know, invest and like how you should outsource. But you know, I'll be honest, like I've had probably like 4 or 5 people tell me to outsource my podcast and I could never do that.
Right.
Not any times, not, I don't think, I don't know. I enjoy editing the conversations. So I don't even really edit them, but I love to listen to them back and, you know, remind myself of how great that conversation was and what was it that we talked about in depth and what did I learn? And right. You can't get that back if you give that away, you know?
Right. Right. And that's, you know, you're defining yourself on what's important to you and the value you decide. Some people value to have more money. So of course, if you can delegate things off, sure, you can create more streams of abundance. But that again, that's an old mindset. What happens is when you said you're enjoying something, you're in joy.
Ooh. Okay?
When you're in joy with something, it's not about the monetary thing because it's a spiritual connection. And that's our sexual waters. That's that sexual energy. That's tantra. That's really creating something. And then you can share it, right? You can share it. You birth something. You birth a podcast. You birth a course. And you're proud of it.
I love that.
Yeah.
You are very incredible, my friend. The way your thought process, like the way that you explain things is just... I just love it. I can tell the deep connection that you have to yourself though. And I think that that is like, it's like no ego, no trying to prove the conversation. You know what I mean? It's like, you're just very confident in what, in who you are and what you say. I love that. I love that. Oh, you're so welcome.
Thank you. Well, I'm just a reflection. Like either I'm projecting something at you that will, if I said something that you didn't like, that would be, you'd be like, what's that? What's he talking about? But the fact what you see in me is something that you're really proud of in yourself. So I just want to give that back to you and saying like what you're seeing in me is something you're really proud in yourself. So just give you that kudos.
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. I feel so nice right now. Thanks. I love that. You know what? That kind of ties really nicely to the next question, question that I wanted to ask you. And it has to do like with the layers of our consciousness. Mm-hmm. So how are the layers of our consciousness formed from your perspective? And then how do we start to peel them away?
Beautiful. So I'm going to give a little plug. I just released my first book about a month ago. Well, about 3 months ago.
Oh my God. What's it about?
So it's called Unfolding the BS.
Oh my God, I love that.
So the BS is belief systems, right? So kind of fusing in what we were saying here is what happens is we come into we choose to come into these human forms again. And then when we're here, we are layered with programming. Mm-hmm. Programming, mm-hmm. belief systems that aren't ours. So it's not so much, you know, developing our consciousness. What we need to do first is remove the layers and unfold those things that are just no longer serving us. And understand is like, maybe this isn't my belief. Maybe this is something that's been indoctrinated into me by religion, family, school. I mean, these are all things that may have some good intentions, but at the same time, not our intentions that are aligned with ourselves and our higher selves, which is what we're all trying to reconnect and remember with. Mm-hmm. That's our whole initiation is like to go within, but to go within, all of a sudden you're releasing the external that no longer serves you. What I really share, the comparison in one of my chapters, I say it's like that t-shirt that you really love sometimes and it just gets a little tighter and tighter with every wash. And there comes a point where you're like, I can't really move anymore. That is a layer of consciousness that no longer serves you. So it's not like you're getting more consciousness. It's you're removing the dead consciousness that has been programmed on you and you're really releasing it and unfolding it. Mm-hmm. So those are the steps of like one awareness of like, whoa, what is happening? You know, money is one, work. How do we define that? How do we define relationships? How do we define partnerships? These things, sitting with it is like, is this something that I truly believe? Have I sat with this or is this something mm-hmm. that somebody else told me, or, you know, oh, my goal, I need to have 10 goals and you say them out loud and they need to be $100,000 today, da, 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 10X my life. Are these really things that are in alignment with us or are they in alignment with somebody else's programming that we subscribe to because we're lost in ourselves? Ooh. No.
That is such a good point.
No.
And I think that that's why, like, a lot of the time what I'm noticing a lot lately too, that type of like conversation doesn't land the same way that it used to for people. People don't really care. Like, I shouldn't say that people don't care to have, you know, 10 times their income, 20 times their income, whatever. Sure. People do because you need money to live in the way that our society is structured. Right. But at the same time, it's like that 10K isn't going to be the thing that makes you happy.
But it sure helps sometimes.
It sure helps. 100%.
Let's be real.
100%. 100%. It absolutely does.
Yeah.
It absolutely does. But it's also like not necessarily the entire reason why you should do something. Because if you don't feel aligned to doing that anymore.
Absolutely.
It's not going to. Yeah. Sorry. Keep going.
No, I was going to say, is it the intention? Is the 10K the intention? Because it should be, how can it impact 10,000 people? Not how can I create $10,000? Because if you can impact 1,000 people and what you do, you can know, oh, I can impact 10 people at the right program cost because they find that value. Yeah. And that's what we need to start really thinking about in that context of removing of, I need to 10X my income. I need to 10X my impact. That's what we need to start doing.
Love that.
Yeah.
Are you a motivational speaker?
I should be.
I'm like, yes, yes, 10x your impact. Yes. I'm like, yeah, I'm here for this.
I feel like I am what I am in the moment. So if that's what's resonating,
I love that. I love that. What would you say is the thing that holds people back the most in their lives?
Fear. Hmm. Which is false evidence appearing real. A lot of what held me back for so long was my health, was being able to put my oxygen mask on first. I always desired to help others first. You know, I was in politics. I was in the Peace Corps. I was in community health development. I always wanted to help other people because it made me feel good.
Yeah.
But I never really felt good because I was either on food stamps or I was barely making enough, and I wasn't on food stamps, but I was still struggling. And when I started really like asking myself, I was like, well, Kev, like, you're not getting any younger, one. And two, you wanted to have more impact in this world.
Yeah.
I can have way more impact by helping more people, but by growing my skills more. And it's that self-worth. You know, what I do now, working with water, mm-hmm. I find a lot of blocks when people are afraid to invest in their health. Not just like growing their business or growing their whatever that is, but just saying like, yes, I'm worthy of the world's best water. Yes, I'm worthy of the world's best food. Yes, I'm worthy of treating myself to a little bit nicer produce. People get really cheap on themselves. And that's what holds people back is the self-worth thing. And it's a struggle because a lot of people cope with, I don't feel really good about myself. Here's a drink. Here's some marijuana. Here's a toxic relationship to make me feel good. Here's Tinder. Here's anything and everything. I've gone through the whole gamut. And when I started saying, Kev, you are enough. You are worthy. So don't ask yourself, can I afford this? Ask, how can I? Mm-hmm. And when I start switching my mindset like that, how can I? Oh my goodness, I just received $1,000 from someone I don't know.
Exactly.
Okay, I can invest into this and I start feeling better. I start feeling better. I start doing better. Mm-hmm. And it's as within, so without. And a lot of people start with the out, without. If I have this car, if I have this house, if I have this relationship, I'll feel better. Mm-hmm. And that's just the backwards lens. And I feel it shifting. But I think people like us are here to really just say, really, it's that inward focus first. It's reconnecting with our purpose and our higher selves and talking about spirituality and God and universe, not feeling like we're chastised about it.
True.
So, yeah.
I love that. Oh my goodness. That's so beautiful. I would love to ask you this question. It's a question that I ask all of my guests when they come on the show.
Sure.
It's one of my last questions for you.
Cool.
And it's, how can someone start to create a little more happiness in their day, every day, starting today?
Hydration.
Oh,
I was earlier on Sunday. I was just in flow whenever I talk to groups. And I was given an example of like, you know, talking about the dehydration in our culture and like how chronic dehydration is disease. But like, what about the acute dehydration when somebody's kind of like a dick and you know, having a bad day, someone's real asshole, right? I said, now I have a different lens. And instead of saying, oh man, that guy's a real asshole to me, I look at it, I'm like, that guy's just so dehydrated. And that's the lens I look at because I know that and I understand that from my knowing of like, I know what hydration can do for people. Mm-hmm. And it's that simple. It is just that simple. And sometimes the simplistic answers are hardest for people to understand.
100%.
Yeah.
I love that. No one's ever said that before on the show.
Oh, awesome.
Memorable. I like it. Oh my goodness. Kevin, where can our listeners find you? Because I know they're going to want to learn more about you.
Sure. So I'm on Instagram at Expansion Codes. I also have my first book out that is on Amazon. That's Unfolding the BS. And you can also connect with me on Facebook. I'm going to start really expanding on Facebook and creating a community because I love sharing and I want to be able to have people who are ready to receive what I have to share. And so, yeah, you can connect with me on any of those platforms.
I love that. Amazing. Yeah. Thank you so much, Kevin, for being here today. This was so, so lovely.
Thank you, Simona. I really appreciate you and all the energy you put out and just being a, such a beautiful reflection for me. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. And you're welcome. And thank you so much, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode on the podcast. Please be sure to let us know which part you loved the most. Take a screenshot, share it on Instagram, tag us, let us know you're listening. I would be so grateful to hear from you. And I know that, you know, there are so many beautiful like nuggets of wisdom packed into this episode. So be sure to replay it from the beginning. Start all over again. Share it with someone who you know needs to hear this message. And remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it.
Thanks so much for being here today. I hope these words have brought you inspiration, insight, and a bit more happiness. Please leave a comment or a review if this episode resonates with you. I would be so grateful. Until next time, remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it.